across from last night's wedding, and there's...
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in worship, whether we're here gathered in the sanctuary or on live stream or Facebook. The Spirit of Christ keeps us connected in this hour of worship. I want to say a special word of welcome to those who might be worshiping with us for the very first time. I've had a chance to meet some of you, and we're so glad that you are with us. I would ask everyone who's present, if you can, to sign in and let us know that you're here. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link up on the screen where you can go and let us know that you're present. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you could pass those down and sign in and pass them back. And those of you sitting on the center aisle, if you wouldn't mind tearing out all the pages that have been filled out and placing them on top. That's a great help to our volunteers. If you would rather not pass the pads, there's a QR code in the bulletin you can scan and use that to share prayer concerns, to make your gifts, and to sign in and participate in worship digitally as you need to. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, our sanctuary choir, which sings at the 8:45 service, will be leading us in a service of evensong worship, which is music and prayer and scripture. And we invite you to join us either in person or online for that beautiful service, contemplative service. Next weekend, we're continuing to participate in our habitat build, and we need lots of volunteers for the 15th, 16th, and 17th of next weekend. On the back of your bulletin is the link to the website where you can go and sign up and let us know you can help build a house for someone in our neighborhood. Also next weekend on Saturday is our recycling day. We'll have lots of trucks and shredders and things in the parking lot. Those things that you can't recycle on the curbside, you can bring here to the church and help us do our part to take care of God's good earth. And there are more details on the website about what will be accepted on that recycling day. Finally, I want to invite Kendall Dykeman to come forward and share with us a ministry moment as we begin this season of discernment around our giving and plans for financial giving. Kendall is going to kick us off and share some thoughts with us.
4 years ago, my husband and I came to West End in search of a faith community that valued what, and more importantly, whom we felt God calling us to value. We found here a place that was open to all, and a staff and a congregation working to not only say but also demonstrate that we truly believe God loves everyone unconditionally. Through ministries like Room in the Inn, Project Transformation, Habitat, our presence at Pride, and so many other examples, we saw a place where our talents and our resources could be put to use to live out that calling, and where we could teach our children what love for our world and for our neighbors truly looks like. We can't personally participate in every one of those ministries, but we know that part of what keeps all of this going is our financial contributions. Our giving is part of answering that call and doing what we can to ensure there's a future for this congregation and that this work of valuing what and whom God values continues. Later this month, letters will be going out asking you to complete an estimate of giving for 2022. We invite you to begin praying now about what your giving will look like next year and to complete that estimate of giving by November 14th. Obviously, the last year has impacted many people economically, and one of the beautiful things about this community is the generosity of both those who have been able to give more when their finances were not impacted by the pandemic and those who have continued to support this work as they are able, despite financial changes. I'm excited to see how this community continues to demonstrate God's love to one another and our neighbors in 2022 and beyond. And I look forward to working alongside all of you to that end.
Thank you so much, Kendall. We're so grateful that you and your family found West End and made it your home. It really is just a coincidence, or maybe it's the Holy Spirit, that the lectionary gospel reading this morning is Jesus' conversation with the rich man, inviting him to give away his possessions. It's a story that challenges us, certainly challenges me, but I invite all of us to open ourselves to the gospel this morning, to see how Jesus invites us to new and abundant life. Let's worship together.
Come, oh, call us to follow you. Lord, you tell us the path will not be easy. Lord, you call us to give. Friends, let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, what we carry, are both held within God's perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. God of the last and the first, we come before you this morning acknowledging that we are sometimes confused by your teaching. We want to answer the call to discipleship, but ignore the cost of following you. We look for you in the wrong places. We refuse to let go of that which would hold us back. We cling to possessions, to pride, to greed, and to power, for placing the material things before your people. Forgive us. For doubting your presence among us, forgive us. For ignoring people who are hurting, forgive us. Be near to us, O God. Help us to offer good news to a hurting world in your name. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and of love, however you may feel comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, John and Meredith Eason bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. John and Meredith, I ask you on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your son for baptism today. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people. If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And now, my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this beautiful child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He calls your disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child that receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Maxwell Lewis.
Maxwell Lewis Eason. I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who sustains, comforts, and holds you all the days of your life. Amen. Now I'm going to invite you all, both of you, to place your hands on him as all of us together pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. Maxwell, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life.
Amen.
Amen. His eyes are so filled with wonder. He's going to teach us some things, I think. We're going to invite you all to stand right here in the center so that everybody worshiping in the sanctuary and those worshiping at home can look at you as together we take our vows as a congregation to love and support Maxwell on his journey.
Will the congregation please stand and face Maxwell Lewis? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ, members of the household of God. I commend Maxwell Lewis to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Maxwell Lewis, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray together the power for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Mark 10:17-31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive the hundredfold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with possessions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have a special invitation for any children who are here in the sanctuary to come join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just to move a little bit closer to your screens. Come on up, Will and Walker. Anybody else? We had several friends here at 8:45. So I'm so glad you're here. Yay, come on up. I have some things I want to show you, some of my favorite things that I have. Oh, so many things I love and I want to show you. So this is a teddy bear that I have had for a long, long time, and I love this teddy bear. And then in here, I have a ball that somebody made me out of banana leaves. Isn't that cool? I have all these books that I love to read. I've got just shelves and shelves of books at home and in my office, like a Sherlock Holmes mystery, really fun. And then over here, I've got this blanket that I love. It's my favorite blanket. It's really soft. And so here are all these things that I just love so much. And oh my goodness, I'm imagining that I see Jesus over there and he's saying to me, "Follow me." Okay, I'm going to go try and follow Jesus now and see what happens. I can't fit with all my things. Oh, and there's somebody over there that needs a hug. I'm going to go give somebody a... Well, I can't hug that person with all this stuff in my arms, can I? And I can't really follow Jesus where he wants me to go if I'm holding on to my stuff so much. Maybe I should set it down. What do you think? I think I will. If I let these things go and I put them down, then I'm free. to give hugs and love people, and I'm free to go through that little space there and follow where Jesus wants me to go. Sometimes I hold on really tightly to things I have, and I don't always like to share or give them away. But you know, there's joy and love that comes when we're able to give things away and let them go sometimes. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for Jesus and how much he loves us. He wants us to live lives that are generous and happy. And one of the ways he teaches us to do that is not to care so much about our things and our stuff, but to care more about people, and most of all, about loving you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. It's so good to see y'all this morning. Now, Pastor Maggie's there for Children's Church if you want to go to Children's Church, or you can go back and sit with your parents. And for those who joined online, we're so glad to see you.
I'm going to Children's Church.
Want to come with me? Want to go with Pastor Katie? She's more fun than I am, so I would highly recommend it. It was hard to think about how to help children enter into that story. That's a tough story, isn't it? I was in a meeting last week with my friend and colleague, Keith Caldwell, Reverend Keith Caldwell, who's the pastor at C. Hubbard United Methodist Church. And in the course of the conversation, he said, you know, sometimes when I'm preaching, I say to my congregation, if I can't get an amen, can I get an ouch? That's how I felt this morning hearing that story. Can I get an ouch? How many things Jesus said to that young man in that story that just hit me right here. Ouch. Go sell everything you have. Give the money to the poor and follow me. Ouch. How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. Ouch. Indeed, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Ouch. As someone who, on the world's standards, on anybody's standards, has wealth and is likely to be labeled rich, these are hard teachings to hear. And if you were with us last week, either in person or online, you may remember I talked about this image of the disciples being bouncers for Jesus. This is one of those times when I want to kind of be a bouncer for Jesus, or at least his PR firm, you know? It's like, you know, he didn't mean it that way. Just soften the edges a little bit. Make it a little more palatable, what Jesus is saying. But there's no way around it. These are challenging, convicting words that Jesus utters in this story. And each one of us is invited to wrestle with them, to pray over them, and to see what it is that Jesus is calling us to do. If we really want to be his disciples, and if we're here in worship this morning, I'm guessing most of us really do want to follow him. We want to live lives that are Christ-shaped lives. Then we have to put ourselves under these teachings and see what we see and hear what we hear. So I invite you to do that in your own prayer life, in your own walk with God, to wrestle with these teachings. And what I can do this morning is just share with you a little bit of what I've learned in my wrestling match with this text this week. Understanding that I am no expert, and it's something that hits me pretty hard too. One of the first things I notice in this story is the way that this man approaches Jesus. First of all, he's very respectful. He kneels before Jesus. I believe he really is earnest and authentic in his desire to be good. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Underneath that question, I think, is what do I have to do to be good in God's eyes? What are the things that I have to do that I have to do to be right He wants to check it off his list. He knows it's in his power. If he just knew what to do, he would do it. I think it comes from a heart that wants to be good and wants to live a righteous life. But it's all about him, isn't it? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life for myself? What do I have to do to be on God's right side? What do I have to do so the world sees me as good? What do I have to do to make sure that I get to go to heaven when my time comes? And did you notice what Jesus does? He says, no one is good but God. Already shifting the man's attention from trying to make himself good and pointing him to God. Only God is good. And that's when he says, how about give away all your possessions? Give the money to the poor. Come follow me. Turning his attention away from himself to God and others. Give your life away. Follow me on a path that you can't predict and you have no control over. Let's see where your trust really lies. Do you really trust God? Do you really have faith in God? And we know the answer to that because the man walks away. He's grieving. He's very sad about it. But he can't let go of his stuff. One of the deepest lessons from this story for me was a reminder of how often Jesus talks about money and possessions. In the Gospels, he talks about money and possessions far more than he talks about prayer or many other things. When he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He is saying that for all of us who want to follow Jesus, all we have to do is look at our budgets. Look at our spending patterns. Where is our money going? That will show us where our hearts are. Where we're actually putting our faith. Whew. I don't know if I want to do that or not. Jesus is saying to those who want to follow him, if you are to be my disciple, then how you deal with your money matters a lot. How you earn your money, how you invest your money, how you spend your money, how you save your money, how you give your money, it all matters. Now, we have in our religious tradition some teachings and some patterns that help us try and keep our lives and our money oriented to God, to keep God at the center. One of those practices is the tithe. It goes all the way back to Abraham in Genesis, giving 10% of everything that comes in away to the kingdom of God. And actually, you know, in practice, if we look at Christians across the whole spectrum of Catholic, mainline Protestant, evangelical Christians, our habits of giving are about 1.7% of our income, all across the board. So many of us are having a hard time getting close to the tithe. But even for those who do tithe, how do we look at that other 90%? Do we think of that then as ours, our play money, ours to do with what we want? I think if we are to hear Jesus' teachings and to be his disciples, that means that all of it is God's and all of it is to be brought into our conversation and our life with God under the gaze of God. And so when I pull my little pie graph of how I'm spending my money, what does God think about the fact that I have Apple TV so I can see Ted Lasso. I have Hulu so I can watch Only Murders in the Building. I've got Netflix. I've got... How many shoes do I have in my closet? When I walk through Green Hills Mall, do I ever come away empty-handed or Target? That's even harder. If I begin to look at my spending, my saving, my investing... If we invest and there are companies that aren't paying their employees a living wage, is that part of the work of the kingdom of God? If I'm investing in a company that's polluting the environment, what does God have to say about that? And then Jesus just starts getting up in my business and all in my wallet and all in Quicken and looking at all of these things. And suddenly this perspective begins to shift. It's hard. Ouch. And I'm right there. And yet, I also notice in this encounter between Jesus and the rich man that undergirding all of it is love. This man falls before Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Mark's gospel tells us Jesus looked at him. And the word is not just the Greek word blepo, which means to look or see. It's emblepo. He looked within the man. He looked with empathy. He looked with love into the man's heart. And he loved him. He loved this man. And right after it says he loved him is when Jesus says, "Go, sell all of your possessions. Give the money to the poor and follow me." This was an invitation not of judgment or condemnation, but of love and invitation. Jesus wanted this man to be free of all of his stuff so that he could follow and know the abundant joy that comes with a life of generosity, a life of following Jesus and having Christ at the center of his life. And the same is true for you and for me. Though these teachings are so hard and they make me say ouch and they make me grit my teeth, they come from a place of love, from a God who wants to set me free from the tight grip I have on my things, the tight grip I have on control, all of the things that keep me from living an open-hearted life. And Jesus reminds his disciples of this grace when he says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they say, "Well, then who can be saved?" And he says, "With the power of humans, no one. But with God, anything is possible." If it's just up to us, we can't check all the lists and do all the things right and make ourselves acceptable and right with God. It's a gift of grace. And we can't reorient our relationship with our money and our possessions on our own. It comes only with the help and grace of a God who will work with us each and every day. And that's what it's going to take for me every day, practicing, examining, trying again when I fail. But the blessing comes with the freedom and joy God gives to a generous heart.
One of the ways we respond to the word and to the preaching of the word is to profess our faith, our beliefs. And so if you will stand in body or spirit and join with me in the statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. You can find that on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team who will pray for you throughout the week, I encourage you to look at the gray card in the pew rack in front of you and fill that out, and then put that in the offering box, either in the narthex or out these side doors. If you're online, you can click the link under Contact Us, and we will be praying for you throughout the week. We have two families we want to extend our deepest sympathy to this morning. The first is Leon Rader and Jewel McGee Rader and their family, who are mourning the death of Leon's son, Alan Rader, who passed away on October 3rd in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And also with Elizabeth Conhar and Gabe Har, as they are mourning the death of Gabe's father, Robert Steve Har, who died October 1st. Services were held Tuesday, October 5th in Bristol, Tennessee. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let us pray. Generous and loving God, with open hands and thankful hearts, we offer to you all that is already yours, O Lord. Everything we possess is a gift from you. Bless the land and water in this season where our landscape transforms into yellows, oranges, and reds. Inspire us with the beauty and keep us hopeful in times of transition. Establish your justice where wealth needs to be distributed so that all might have enough. Pour out your favor on those who feel distant from you. Surround them with loving care and support. Grant healing to all those who are suffering. Be at work through doctors, nurses, EMTs, and aides to bring comfort to all who need it. Deepen relationships with those of different backgrounds and beliefs. Help us to work together and let our cooperation be a symbol of your kingdom come. And God of wisdom, guide us, your church, to be awake to both the strengths and challenges around us, so that we might experience the promise of eternal life here on earth. May we join our voices together to pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us give our offerings, our tithes, our gifts, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Jesus has said to us, "Come, follow me." And we have sung our reply, "Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee." Let us go with that commitment and let us receive the joy and peace that only Christ can give. Amen.